This is My Daddy's Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the voice of freedom. To the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got just about 16 tons of all kinds of news. And we'll be getting to a little bit of that, and we'll also be talking a little bit about the Apollo space program. In the meantime, if you'd like to help the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network continue to expand its programming, you need to call Southwest International Trading right now at 1-800-295-2432. Ask for our survival pack number 3. That's right, we've got a new one. It consists of one roll, and there's 20 per roll, of American Eagles. That's silver dollars. 2 1/10 ounce gold American Eagles. That's gold, ladies and gentlemen. 0.999% pure. One roll of what are called junk quarters, which are really 90% silver. The only junk you've got is what you're carrying around in your pocket now. All for the ridiculously low price of only $275. If you have other precious metals needs, ladies and gentlemen, call. Tell them what your needs are. Tell them what you're thinking about. Ask questions. You don't have to buy anything. I mean, if you just don't know anything about precious metals, you can call and just ask questions. Also, we have 12 back issues of Veritas National Newspaper. That's Veritas, full-size national newspaper. These issues, folks, made history. Broke ground, scooped the world. Printed stories that the establishment press does not dare print. We have issues 1 and 2 and issues 5 through 14. That's 12 total issues, normally $5 a piece. You can have all 12 for the price of 5. So for $25 post-paid, you can have all of the back issues of Veritas that we have in stock. And folks, don't delay. They're going to go fast. Make your check or money order payable to Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, and send it to Harvest, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 2470, Pine Top, Arizona, 85935. And by the way, that's our address, folks, for Harvest. If you have any other address, get rid of it. The phone number, and you can call anytime during our office hours, which are 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific. After 1 p.m. Pacific, you can leave a message on the answering machine. Occasionally, I might answer it, but I'm not answering it to do business, folks. I'm answering it because it's a possibility it could be an emergency or something. So remember, office hours 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific. The phone number is 520-333-4578. It's the same as the call-in number when we take calls on this broadcast. It's also the fax number. If you want to send a fax, send it to 520-333-4578. Monday through Friday, Connie will be at her desk and answer the phone. She'll be the one that you talk to. Don't go away. I'll be back after a brief pause. Ladies and gentlemen, there are beginning to be cracks widening into great gaps in the attempts by the leading American communist news network media to black out public discussion about the dangers of an imminent major crash on the equities and financial markets. The August 4th issue of Time magazine, a key establishment trend-setting mouthpiece, ran a three-page feature entitled Wall Street's Doomsday Scenario. That's right, folks. Wall Street's Doomsday Scenario. Stocks preparing for the crash. It didn't say preparing in case there's a crash. It said preparing for the crash. Highlighted on the front page, the feature had the subheadline, Believe It. The market could crash and political and financial chiefs are making contingency plans. Exactly as I have been telling you for years that it's going to do. Author Daniel Kadlec writes that, quote, even with all the adjustments since the 87 crash, another meltdown is quite possible, end quote. Now, while this may be old hat for the listeners to the hour of the time, I'm sure this is quite shocking for some of you. I could continue, and maybe I will. It is just absolutely amazing what has been happening. Over the last few days, the Tokyo stock market has been dropping from 5 to 3 percentage points almost every day. This isn't some little wrinkle in the pond, ladies and gentlemen. That's a catastrophe. And when something happens in a world market far away, the ripple effect around the world is usually magnified by the time it reaches New York. I'm going to go back to some music here for a couple of more minutes while I take care of some business in the other room, and then I'll be right back with more. We'll be right back. Well, that may have done it. What I'm trying to do is open up the phone line so that Gene can call in and give us a metal report. And somehow the computer had seized the phone line, and I couldn't get it to let go. And that's not a malfunction, it's just computers. Sometimes they do strange things. And I don't always know why, or pretend to know why, and won't today. So Gene should be calling any minute, if he's still trying, that is. And we'll have a metal report, and then we may get into some more of this news, because I'm not kidding you, folks. The Communist News Networks are not telling you the truth about the stock market or the financial situation. It is deteriorating rapidly, not just here, but around the world. You have no idea what is happening. During the four market days between July 31st and August 4th, Tokyo's Nikkei stock market index fell by almost 1,000 points, which is 5%, ladies and gentlemen. That's 5%. I mean, that's a financial shock. And it's going to get worse, because at the end of August, at the end of September, a lot of things are coming to a head as far as debt and loans and the end of fiscal year for countries and large corporations. And October is looking pretty bad. If you've got paper investments, October does not look good, folks. And I guarantee you, between now and the year 2000, the whole thing is going to cave in and hit rock bottom. Rock bottom. Remember, I've only been wrong once in all of the predictions that I've made. And it is not looking good. In the last few days, the Tokyo stock market has been falling again. Precipitously, you know, just a little bit at a time, but ladies and gentlemen, over a period of time from about July 31st, it amounts to quite a bit. There are a lot of countries that are depreciating their paper. By paper, I mean what you might call money, but what really isn't money. If it's not backed by something that has an intrinsic value of its own, then it's not money, it's just paper. It's phony money, as a matter of fact. And these kinds of things are happening. And they're happening all over the place. There is a financial crisis which is now breaking out simultaneously at different points around the world, from the Southeast Asian currency devaluations to the midsummer stock market madness of Europe, and of course right here in this country. Over the last 20 to 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, a gigantic bubble economy of financial speculation has grown up at the expense of the physical economy. And the great bubble, ladies and gentlemen, is now beginning to burst. There are warnings and reports on this, but the average citizen doesn't see these things. The focus is on the looming crash in the stock markets that are now appearing regularly in capital cities around the world. For example, the London Sunday Times of July the 27th ran the headline, quote, "Brace yourself for the crash of 97, end quote. This is the London Sunday Times. The holdout is still Washington, D.C. But even in the United States, the media money columns have begun to offer advice on self-protection measures for the coming crash. They're not saying in case a crash occurs. They're saying the coming crash, because they know what I know. They see the same information that I see. They've got to understand, folks, that there is and will be no contained regional or local run on a currency are what you might call a contained bank failure or contained stock exchange correction episode in all of this. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be any kind of a containable blowout. The era of managing such incidents as the Mexico crises in 1994, the Barings Bank crises of February 1995, and others is, and you can run with this, folks, I'm telling you, it's over. And when we see reports of such incidents, we are, of course, seeing the process of disintegration of the entire world financial system. You can't even do analysis in the same way that you used to. As stupid as it was, at least you could, you know, you could sort of make it work. We're now in an X research phase, according to the Executive Intelligence Review in the Washington Insider. This was stressed by the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, a leading German daily, in its July 25th coverage of a new report by Morgan Stanley Investment Bank, which predicted a major, major stock market correction over the next 12 months. It can be clearly stated, said Morgan Stanley, that stock market prices have completely decoupled from economic fundamentals. Stock market prices are now X research, that means outside of any kind of normal ability to explain them or predict them. And it means that any assessment of economic perspectives of specific companies is now, ladies and gentlemen, totally irrelevant for anticipating their future stock prices. It's completely off the board. It's out of the realm of common sense or any kind of intelligent explanation. This is the closest thing to the stock market crash of 1929 that you'll ever see. It is a bubble that is held aloft totally, totally by speculation and people out on a limb who have hocked everything they have to get in on the ride. In July, the Thai currency, the baht, fell 23.6% in value. Oh, you say, well, that's just some third world nation. Beg your pardon, that's one of the major economic bastions of the Far East. Fell 23.6% in value. The Philippine peso fell 6.9%. The Indonesian rupiah, 5.3%. And the ringgit of Malaysia, 4.1%. Most Americans would say, well, that's happening over there. It could never affect us. I beg your pardon. On the major stock markets, European analysts generally forecast a collapse in August or possibly October. The European media project an imminent collapse of 20, 30, or 50% of the values of the New York Stock Exchange. Why isn't Dan Rather telling you these things? Why is it that the American people are not getting the news that the rest of the world is getting unless what is happening here is exactly what I have warned you about? They don't want you to know because they don't want you to be able to save yourselves. They want you to lose it all. That's the only way socialism can prevail. Socialism cannot exist with a middle class in place in this country. Now, folks, this isn't some lunatic projection. I am quoting to you from the major financial experts and the major financial newspapers of the world. They say that this likelihood arises from the ricochet process that will inevitably ensue when markets crash anywhere in the world, then cross-connect, and then roll back to New York. Major U.S. and European markets, ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't noticed, are now in a phase of absolute hysteria, with bettors trying to hog all the profit they think they can get. Dow Jones Industrial Average, listen to me carefully, and then see if you can logically explain it. If you can, there's nothing to worry about. If you cannot, you had better worry, and you better worry big time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up by 28% this year to date, exceeding its rise of 26% during 1996. On July 31st, it hit 8,254.89 points. Where is all this money coming from, ladies and gentlemen? It has to be borrowed money. Borrowed money doesn't exist. Can you imagine what's going to happen when this bubble settles upon a sharp blade of grass? Germany's DAX index has gone up by 50% this year to date. In the first 4 months of 1997, more money was invested in German stocks than in all of 1996. On July 23rd alone, that's July 23rd, the DAX rose 4.15% on that one day with a record 3.5 million transactions. And this surge came the day after a television special gave tips on how to get in on the stock boom. It was a sheeple event, ladies and gentlemen, spurred by some pseudo-expert telling them how to take their savings and put it on the stock market, and they did it. And other markets are just as wild. In the Netherlands, the homeland of the tulip bubble, which burst in 1637, the Amsterdam Exchange Index has increased by 52% since January. Is there any business in the world that justifies this? Of course not. And if there isn't, ladies and gentlemen, and this isn't the only year this has been happening, if there isn't, and there isn't, it's all going to come tumbling down. And historically, ladies and gentlemen, October is a big red-letter calendar month for the forces of socialism and communism. It has been a frequent month for a crash for reasons of timing, including the fact that the government fiscal year ends on September 30th in many countries. October marks the beginning of the second half of the fiscal year in Japan. It is the time for release of half-year corporate earnings and so forth. But beyond all this, there is the big one, the derivatives markets, which most of you don't even know anything about. These markets represent the second level of the collapse process, an even deeper level of threat to blow out the banking and financial system. Forecasters, as a matter of fact, are discussing whether a derivatives blowout will happen during the period of August through December 1997. Or maybe sometime later in 1998. The notional valuation of outstanding derivatives contracts, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this carefully, is put at $60 to $100 trillion internationally. Where does all this money come from? This isn't counting the national debt of the countries. It's not counting the phony value of the stock exchanges around the world. It's not counting the money in circulation. Where in the world did derivatives contracts get $100 trillion put into them? Where did it come from? You see, this whole world global economic bubble is counterfeit. It's fake. It cannot last because it has no foundation. On July 23rd, coverage of the crash of 97 began. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung's lead article was headlined, quote, "Fear is spreading among emerging stock markets. Now also Latin America is facing the currency problems of other regions. Will there at stock exchanges around the world that the present currency crises in Southeast Asia could create disasters at more and more stock exchanges in the emerging markets by a domino effect. You see, all of those who think that it can't possibly affect us. Well, if we had solid money, if we had the money that we used to have, instead of these phony Federal Reserve notes, you're right. But you see, our currency is floated upon the world market. And anything that happens in the world market will affect the value of what they call our currency. It's not currency at all. I don't know what to call it. Counterfeit papers is really the truth. You see, what started in Thailand, Indonesia, and the Philippines has also weakened currencies in Eastern Europe. And in recent days, just days, ladies and gentlemen, Brazil, Argentina, and Mexico were following with heavy stock market upheavals. The International Monetary Fund has already started emergency actions. Do you think there's nothing to worry about? The IMF has already begun emergency actions. And the IMF is advising several countries in their crises management. Not financial management, crises management. Leading analysts are already speaking of a renewal of the 1995 Mexico crises and warn investors of a potential crash risk. In particular, that the huge, tremendous capital flows into the emerging markets could easily be turned around. Among the crash prophets cited is the super cautious Deutsche Bank Research Agency, which is now expecting many more Thailands and giving Greece as an example of a hot candidate in this respect. On July 27th, the London Sunday Times ran the story, "Brace Yourself for the Crash of 97. Writer David Smith predicted October is shaping up to be the cruelest month on the world's stock markets. Smith began his warning to readers writing, "As if it were from the vantage point of January 1998, looking back on the crash that had happened on Black Tuesday of October 1997. It might behoove you to look and see what the numbers of the dates are on the Tuesdays in October. At the very least, the article concluded that as of August, some severe turbulence is overdue. On July 26th, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung ran a front-page editorial warning of the crash consequences of current high-altitude ecstasy on the stock markets. Written by Jürgen Jeske, the article reported on the recent stock speculation hysteria in Germany, warning that, quote, "a stock market plunge always comes suddenly. If you look at the history of the big crash in 1929, there are certain striking similarities. The overall euphoria, the growing wish to buy financial assets, the run-up on new stocks, the utilization of the favorable market climate to issue new stocks, the takeover speculation. The number of people, companies, and corporations plunging into debt to put more and more money into the stock market. Because the present euphoria is driven by huge liquidity, which cannot flow in forever, the danger of a backfire is growing." The August 4th issue of Time magazine ran a cover headline, "Stocks Preparing for the Crash," a three-page business section article by Daniel Kadlec titled, quote, "Wall Street Doomsday Scenario," end quote. It reviewed contingency plans by U.S. government and mutual funds crashmeisters to manage the crises. Not the possible crises, the crises. Kadlec wrote that even with all the adjustments since the 87 crash, another meltdown is quite possible. Folks, If you know these people, if you've been reading their articles and listening to them for years, you know that this is extreme language from them. Unless it was absolutely positive, they wouldn't even dare to utter these words. And the chief crashmeisters, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you don't know, are the members of the President's Working Group on Financial Crises. But the Time Review gave the very best details on the managers of the mega mutual funds companies who are taking precautionary measures that are as insane as the buildup of the stock bubble to begin with. They are investing huge sums of money, and they are staging drills and practice runs to get ready for the crises ahead. Do you think they would be doing that if this was some kind of rush to Armageddon? If this were just the babblings of some right-wing extremist? No, ladies and gentlemen. You see, I've never told you anything that wasn't based upon solid research. Solid research. We don't do anything around here that's speculation or rumor. Listen to this. Fidelity Investments, which have over $500 billion in investments, says that it can double its phone line capacity in a crisis, dropping down extra cables now already stored in the ceiling of its cafeteria. During the past year, Fidelity has paid particular attention to crises planning, more dry runs, more computer simulations to make sure equipment is working. Information is disseminated quickly and lines of credit are reconfirmed with our banks, says Robert Posen, president of Fidelity Management and Research Company. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, how extreme this is? Here's another one. You think that's a flash in the pan? They're all doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another one. They manage $300 billion. They already have a bear market task force in place and operating, reported Time magazine. To prepare itself, Vanguard has built an off-site war room loaded with phones and has a Swiss army of about 1,000 telephone representatives that can be deployed instantly, doubling the firm's call capacity. John Brennan, CEO of Vanguard, can activate his war room whenever the emergency hits to field frantic calls that they know they're going to get. The problem is, by the time they get those frantic calls, there will be nothing that they can do. Nothing except to try to soothe frazzled nerves, make promises that they cannot keep, and hopefully talk people out of jumping out of fourth floor windows. Here's another one. If you've been reading Money Magazine, you know that they have never done this in their history. In their August issue, they ran the cover story, quote, "Don't just sit there, sell stock now," end quote. And the cartoon shows a man seated on the crest of a gigantic ocean wave just about to crash. The magazine, whose July issue said, quote, "Sell now," end quote, advertises on the cover, quote, "Risks are rising. Take profit by cashing in 20% of your shares. Our 24-page special report tells you what to do next," end quote. See, you all thought I was nuts. Folks, I've never been nuts. Different, yes. Nuts, no. And everything you've ever heard on this broadcast has been based upon facts. Solid facts and solid research. That's why in all the predictions I've ever made, ladies and gentlemen, I've only been wrong once. That's why William Jefferson Clinton calls me the most dangerous radio host in America. And I'm telling you right now, you had better listen to what I'm telling you or you're going to lose it all. And I don't care where or how you do it, you had better invest at least a part of your assets in precious metals, gold and silver coins. You don't have to purchase it from Southwest International Trading although if you do, it will help us at the same time. But you had better do it. Purchase it from someone and do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Because when this comes tumbling down, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. And to finish what they started and to completely eliminate the middle class in this country so that they can have their socialist, communist, new world order, their utopian world, as they call it, they will pull all of the gold and silver that they have in the vaults around the world and they will flood it on the market. They will drop the price of gold and silver down to almost nothing. And all of the fools, not understanding what is happening, thinking that they're going to lose it all, even what they have in gold and silver, will dump what they have on the market also, causing the price to even go down farther. They will get paper in exchange for substance in these transactions. And when the price sinks down to its lowest, the powerful financiers and the controllers, the puppet masters of the world, will purchase all of the gold and silver that has been dumped on the market back at rock-bottom dirt prices. And only those who have sense, only those who are smart enough to ignore the market completely when it comes to commodities, and I'm talking about hard commodities, not consumables, only those people are going to survive this in a financially sound manner. Now, once again, I don't care where you get it. You don't have to purchase it from Southwest International Trading. I don't care where you get it. Just get it and get it now. Don't wait, ladies and gentlemen. And don't pay any attention to the price of gold or silver. What amazes me is in past years when gold and silver have been at their peaks, people rush in to buy it. And then when it drops down to its lowest levels, they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. That's backwards, folks. That's the fool's game. Just in case nobody ever told you, you're supposed to buy low and sell high. And the stock market is as high as it's going to get. They're getting ready to pull the plug. They're not keeping it a secret. They're advertising the fact all over the world. Everybody knows it except the American people because the communist news networks are staying completely silent about what's happening. For they truly are the communist news networks, and you'd better understand that. If you don't understand anything else in your whole life, you'd better start understanding that right now. The goal is a one-world socialist utopian government. They call it utopian because if it turns out the way they want it to be, we'll all be their slaves, and that's pretty utopian if you ask me. In Money Magazine also, August issue, you can still get it. Inside a two-page graph shows three lines, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, corporate profits, and equity fund flows. The scenario is that beginning now, the Dow will fall from a level of 8,000, ladies and gentlemen. This is what they're saying. I'm not saying this, they're saying. Down to 6,200 by this time in 1998. Why? Well, since 1995, folks, strong flows into funds have made the stock market race ahead of corporate profits. So analyst Michael Seavey of Money Magazine says, selectively sell your stocks. But what about the whole financial system, you ask? Well, don't worry. Frank Lely, managing director of Money, says in an editorial, check your stocks today and sell some of your runaway winners so you'll have plenty of cash to invest the next time the market becomes the screaming bargain it was 3 years ago. What advice? In the meantime, all the stocks you keep are going to go from a level of over 8,000 down to 6,000. He doesn't give you any advice on that. So whatever you realize from getting the profit on your runaway profit stocks, you're going to lose that and everything else when it plunges 2,000 points. How many of you remember that 1 point on the stock market is $1? Anybody? Does anybody remember that? Sounds like a horror story, doesn't it, folks? Well, it is. It is a horror story. And the reports from the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, formed after the 1987 stock market crash, which is chaired by Treasury Secretary Rubin. Rubin is mentioned as one of the key players who will decide what gets done in Washington and on Wall Street to try to keep the damage to a minimum. When the stock market takes a severe hit. Other key players include Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, of course, and David Komansky, Chief Executive Officer of the Merrill Lynch Investment House. On the latter, Cadillac writes, Merrill Lynch's crises plan is drawn from the 87 experience. At the first sign of a meltdown, Komansky will gather the 13-member committee in a crisis room. Listen to this, folks. Komansky will gather the 13-member committee in a crisis room on the 33rd floor of the firm's New York City headquarters. Of course, there's nothing in symbolism, is there? If you've studied these people like I have, I mean, that's just a dead giveaway. On July 27th, cable network news, the late edition, interviewed Adam Zagorin, one of the contributors to the Time magazine article. Zagorin told CNN, the Communist News Network, that around town, very quietly, people are planning for the worst. They don't like to talk about it very much, but some of the most senior officials in the government, Treasury Secretary Bob Rubin, Alan Greenspan, and others, heads of the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, are quietly laying the groundwork in case markets should become disorderly for whatever reason. He says, no one wants to talk about it. No one wants a self-fulfilling prophecy, but they're getting ready, and they have been getting ready for months now. It's because they know it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to pull the plug. Remember the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, says that the middle class must be eliminated for socialism to work. Remember what I've been telling you? The only way to eliminate the middle class is for a catastrophic economic disaster to occur, wiping out their investments and savings, forcing banks to call mortgages and loans, and of course, repossess collateral. On July 21st, the mass circulation New York Post, this is in the New York Post, carried a headline, Government is prepared for market crash. Rubin. It reported on comments made the day before by Treasury Secretary Rubin on NBC TV's Meet the Press interview show. Quote, I'm comfortable that we're well prepared should anything happen. End quote. Despite his assurances that, quote, protective safeguards, end quote, were in place to make sure that a dive in the stock market would not threaten the overall financial system. And despite his repeating the usual Clinton administration line that the U.S. economy is in fine shape, such an exchange brought the issue of a market crash before millions of Americans for the first time since 1929. As for Greenspan, in his annual Humphrey Hawkins testimony before the House Banking Committee, July 22nd, he made some statements in his usual bizarre language that were interpreted as warning of a possible coming crisis in the financial system. For example, he remarked, quote, our general focus is not on the same issues we looked at 5 or 6 years ago, but mainly on issues of evidences of strain in the financial system, end quote. Now, these people don't talk like we do. That is a severe statement coming from Robert Rubin, who knows that whenever he opens his mouth, it can affect the prices on the exchanges around the world. Behind the jubilation from the U.S. Congress and White House over passage of the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, there are wildly optimistic assumptions about how the world will look during the next 5 years. The bill, expected to be signed into law on August 7th, had as its stated aim the reduction of the federal deficit to zero by 2002. Well, we know that that hasn't happened yet, has it? The budget isn't balanced. Is it going to be balanced? Ladies and gentlemen, what if they balanced the budget? What would that do for the economy? You would be amazed at how many billions of dollars would be instantly taken out of the economy. Even though it's debt, it's still there. Billions of dollars would disappear from the economy of this country. Instantly. And what about the ultimate scenario that they've been preparing us for many years? What if, ladies and gentlemen, out of the clear blue sky, somebody walking along suddenly noticed a speck way, way up in the atmosphere? And the speck grew larger and larger until it was low enough that everybody could see that it was a huge, tremendous flying saucer. And what if that flying saucer landed and was immediately surrounded by military, not so much to defend us from whoever was in that spacecraft, but to defend them from us, to tell you the truth? What if they came out, shook hands with the President of the United States, and said that they were prepared, in exchange for a peaceful coexistence, to give us technology that may be hundreds or even thousands of years in advance of what we have now? What would a Pentium microchip be worth then? Can you tell me? What would stock in AT&T be worth then, ladies and gentlemen, if they could teach us to communicate with our minds instead of through fiber optic cables and telephone lines? What would stock in American Airlines, or Braniff, or Virgin, or any of those aircraft transportation companies be worth then, ladies and gentlemen? What would stock in energy and utility companies be worth then if they had some method of producing energy on a vast scale, much cheaper and easier, and with no pollution problems? What do you think would happen to the stock market then? And ladies and gentlemen, let's go one step further. Let's say the whole thing is a scam, that they're not really aliens, but the government tells us that they are. And they really don't have all these things, but the government says that they have them. What do you think the chances are that the whole world will believe exactly what we're told? I'm telling you that it's pretty damn good. I'm telling you that the sheeple will believe every word of it. And I'm telling you that if that scenario were to take place to market, that's a Freudian slip. If that scenario were to take place tomorrow, there would no longer be any market. How about those apples? Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And God bless each and every single one of you. Just what do you think all this UFO stuff is all about, anyway? Come on, folks. Connect the circuitry, and for once in your life, have an original thought, and then act on it. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Eli Lilly, the drug company that makes Prozac, recently submitted data of the drug to the Food and Drug Administration in an effort to have it approved for your children, a la Ritalin in the school system. The agency issued a press release saying that they have asked for more information. You see, Ritalin's not enough to complete the effort at dumbing down the American children for the coming millennium. And that's why William Jefferson Clinton calls me, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. He can't stand the light of truth. Socialism sucks, ladies and gentlemen, and so do socialists. They'll suck everything out of your pockets, out of your bank accounts, out of your home, off your property, and then they'll take your property if you let them.
My daddy station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
Ladies and gentlemen, beginning Monday, August the 18th, the hour of the time will no longer be heard on shortwave at 6 Eastern. We will move our time slot to 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's beginning Monday, August the 18th. The hour of the time will no longer be heard on shortwave at 6 p.m. Eastern, but will move to the time slot of 11 p.m. Eastern. This change will not affect satellite or low-power FM affiliate stations.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Please tune in later, ladies and gentlemen, at 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern, for the rerun of today's live broadcast of the Hour of the Time. Also, the Hour of the Time, beginning Monday, August 18th, will no longer be heard on shortwave at 6 Eastern. Instead, we will move the Hour of the Time to the 11 p.m. Eastern time slot on shortwave WRMI 9.955 megahertz. Stay tuned now for all...